Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" Our Lord has ascended to heaven. Pentecost Sunday is approaching, and we can be at peace because the Holy Spirit will soon descend upon us and give us those seven gifts. Right? Well, sort of. We can be assured of God's care for us, and that the Holy Spirit is truly with us, giving us his gifts and grace. But today our Lord rattles Peter with a simple question. Do you love me? The words proceeding from his mouth move him to the point of fear and trembling. While Christ asks the question in a meek and mild manner, he knocks Peter off his feet. The movement of the Holy Spirit can often strike us like these simple words of Christ to Peter today. I remember this truth hitting me actually very profoundly a few years ago. I was in Alaska and we were filming our documentary, The Sleigh Ride. We traveled to bring Mass to faithful in remote locations on Christmas Eve and then on Christmas morning. On Christmas morning, we left at 4 a.m. to get to our destination. I was excited to complete the Christmas mission. Like St. Peter, who having just ate breakfast with Jesus, I felt a sense of peace and security with the Lord. I was at ease. But by the time we got out to the midway point of our destination, we needed to refuel. And at that point, the winds began to violently howl at something like 80 miles per hour. It felt treacherous just getting out of the car and walking to the gas pump. Similarly, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples on Pentecost, it crashes upon them like a mighty wind, as St. Luke tells us. Even though, in this case, when we were out in Alaska in the winter, I was appropriately dressed in all the winter gear that I needed. And when the wind hit me, though, it sucked the life out of me. That's just how strong it was. Whether it is through words or the winds, the grace that our Lord sends upon us is often meant to shake us up. As we finished refueling, Casey, our film director, looked at me with fear and trembling in his eyes and said, "Hey, Father, how about you lead us in prayer before we get back on the road?" It gave us a holy sense of fear before we braved the dangerous roads. The fear of the wind helped us remain sober and alert for the drive. In that moment, there was a profound sense of things being out of our control, and we needed to turn to prayer. It was a simple reminder of our finitude, our dependency on God. As it turned out, as we were praying during that drive, things were relatively peaceful. Aside from a gust of wind occasionally kind of knocking us off the road a little bit, we were okay. While Christ sends the Holy Spirit to enlighten and inspire, the Spirit also comes with an act of force and power. It is necessary to embrace the fear of the Lord if one wants to rise out of the lowliness of sin and find their purpose in life. Fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of the first gift, the initial gift where God gets the ball rolling for us. And there are two kinds of fear of the Lord: servile fear and filial fear. The camera crew and I, we had filial fear. We feared the danger of the icy roads. To avoid sin, simply out of fear of punishment, is driven by a similar impulse. This servile fear, where a servant obeys his master, is sort of a fear of punishment. That's one way we can view it. We drove nice and slow on the road that day because we feared the road might knock us, or the wind might knock us off the road. The saints understand the gift of fear of the Lord as a filial fear, the kind of fear that a child has in offending their parents. They understand they're afraid of their parents not because of punishment, but they understand the goodness of their parents and don't want to let them down. The fear of the Lord compels us to fear sin, not because we might be punished by God, maybe that's a part of it, but more so we realize the goodness of God and do not want to let him down and do not want to be separated from that love. Filial fear itself is marked by two kinds of characteristics: awe and a desire to not let God down. Awe in the sense that, like standing before the edge of a cliff or a tall building, and as we look down, we acutely realize that there is danger. But more importantly, we realize that there is something truly awesome and incredible that is before us. Maybe it's easier to actually point to something like standing before a giant skyscraper, like on the ground, or before a mountain. We actually see how impressive and great it is, and there's something kind of lame about not ascending the mountain, not ascending the skyscraper. We want to go up there, there's a challenge, but we know that it compels us toward greatness, and we are in awe of it. It strikes us with admiration. Often adult converts, they feel the sense when they are entering the faith, right? On Easter Vigil, before they're about to be baptized or confirmed, they feel a sense of awe that is before them. I had that same sense before beginning ordained a priest. You see something incredible that is before us, and you're struck in with awe, and you're sort of excited about it, but you almost fear it in a certain way as well. We should seek this fear whenever we come before God in prayer. When we speak of not wanting to let others, letting someone down, we have a sense that they deserve our respect and love. Letting them down is wrong, and it should make us feel bad because we truly owe them our love. I remember getting in trouble with my father once toward the end of high school for something or other. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it was significant. Now, I initially had servile fear. I thought my dad was going to give me some kind of punishment, or like a punishment of like taking something away from me, like my car. Instead, he left a note in my car in an obvious place, and it read, "Do the right thing." It gave me a sense that this is not about a monetary loss, but there is something much deeper going on. There is a higher reality at work in the world whom I should serve. That my father called me to this meant that he was kind of a good guy, and it was pretty bad to let him down. Fear of the Lord moves us to distress at the thought of failing to love God, because he is truly good and worthy of our love. It compels us to good religious practice, giving God the honor that we owe him, and moves us to self-control. When reflecting on fear of the Lord, we should see ourselves like St. Peter in today's gospel. Like Peter, we are kind of lame and fickle, but our Lord's words meekly stand there to strike us in a kind of fear, not with brute force, but with the words, "Do you love me?" The words can hit harder than an iron rod because they remind us that though we might be lame, God sees our capacity to be a saint, and he compels us to see his greatness. We are in awe about how amazing it is. We do not want to let him down because we see the love that is there. And he will not let us off the hook. God compels us to this greatness, compels us to the greatness of himself. He is always calling us to rise to the occasion. And though we might squirm a little bit, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he will call us with those simple words. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?